Well, let me again welcome you to worship. As Pastor Eric said earlier, we're starting a new sermon series called Parched. And with the humidity today, I think it's right on time. And so we're looking at spiritual practices over these next 5 weeks. So I'm hoping that we'll give you some things to take home as we look at how can we draw closer to God and walk in the ways that God wants us to. So with that said, how about you join me for a quick word of prayer? Dear God, we yearn and thirst after you. All of our singing and preaching and praying would be in vain without the presence of your Holy Spirit. So use me, your broken, imperfect preacher. Set the stage for your word to go forth. For we stand on the hope and the belief that you work through us and in spite of us. So when the word goes out, let it not come back void. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. So let's start off with a definition as we talk about parched over these next 5 weeks. Small definition I want to give you is parched is a spiritual condition where we are depleted or deprived of something that we need. Somebody say parched. Now let me show you what this looks like practically. For those of you some of you know this, we recently just got back from an amazing vacation. You remember 2 weeks ago I was dancing on stage, I said, I'm ready, right? We had a great time. We were 8 days, we cruised to the Dominican Republic, Bahamas, Grand Turk, and the best were the excursions. The ship was okay, but the best part were the excursions. One of the most memorable days was when we started off the day and we went horseback riding, and then we went zip lining at the second half of the day. And I was a bit worried because we have a six-year-old, and so I didn't know how to explain appropriately to a six-year-old that in about 5 minutes, you're about to be 200 feet up in the air on a rope sliding down to the other side. I didn't know how to do it. So luckily she's alive, she made it, she's okay. But just so you know, just to set the story straight, I was in the back of the line, not because I was scared or afraid of heights, but I wanted to make sure that everybody else got on safe. Somebody say amen. Amen, right? We had a great time. Everything was going fine. Everything was going safe until I looked at top one of the landings and I saw a woman who was clearly not all right. She was bent over, exhausted. Now, mind you, we are a couple hundred feet in the air, and she was not doing very well. I mean, the workers went into their safety mode, and they were all around her, huddling around her. I mean, she looked physically exhausted, physically exhausted. So the workers, they got around her, and do you know what the first thing they gave her was? Water, right? First thing they gave her was water. In fact, I asked one of the guys what happened, and he didn't seem worried about it at all. It was like it was no sweat off his back. He said, oh, this happens all the time because you people come all the way out here and you forget to hydrate. But I get it. I mean, it was a long day. We started early in the morning. We did the horseback riding and the sun was beaming down on us. Then we had to climb several flights of stairs. Sun was beaming down on us. And I don't blame her because her body was depleted and deprived of something that it desperately needed. I mean, she was parched. She was exhausted. But it's not just a physical condition, but it also describes a spiritual condition where we are deprived or depleted or the things that we desperately need. And this is the reason why we are doing this season, why we're doing this series, because so many of us show up to very important places. We show up to the most important places in our lives, parched. We show up to our homes, we show up to our jobs, we show up to our relationships, we show up to church, we show up to serve, to the most important places in our lives. We show up spiritually, mentally, and physically exhausted. In fact, the psalmist puts it like this. The psalmist says, oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is not water. So over the next several weeks, we're going to look at spiritual practices that we can add to our lives that will continually fill our spirit so that we don't have to show up to those places empty and exhausted and parched. And today's spiritual practice is something simple, but I think all of us need it. In fact, when we're looking at these spiritual practices, some of them will seem out of the norm, but I think they'll help you. The first spiritual discipline we're talking about today is paying attention. In fact, one of my good friends, Juanita Rasmus, calls it notice what you're noticing. Paying attention is simply the intentional practice of noticing the signs and the signals around you. In fact, one writer puts it like this: when things go unnoticed for too long, bad things begin to happen. A leaky roof turns into a major repair of an entire wall. Unattended weeds eventually squelch the ground of the vegetables. A not that big a deal lump over time becomes cancerous. An undisciplined child later in life lacks a healthy sense of boundaries. But time has a way of forcing things to get the attention they need, and many in our culture have lived with a sense of unnoticedness for too long. And that's the condition that we find the people in Isaiah 44. They are right in the middle of a difficult historical period in God's people. Their elaborate temples have been destroyed. They have been taken away from their homeland. They are in Babylonian exile. When God promised them a land flowing with milk and honey, they didn't imagine that they would end up in another foreign land as strangers. They're now wrestling with their future. They're questioning if God was still with them. And in some way, they are laying on a platform before the world, exhausted and parched. In fact, God describes their spiritual condition as a thirsty land or a dry ground. God does not gloss over their reality because their glass was not full. And yet, the subtitle of many of our Bibles of Isaiah 44 is entitled "The Blessing of Israel." It almost seems out of place considering the historical context. They are in Babylonian exile, and yet it says that this is the blessing of Israel. In these small verses, God is reminding them of the reasons to still hold on to hope and to expect better days. Their parched condition was a reality. Somebody say A. It was a reality, but it was not the reality. And the temptation for them and us is to only see a small portion of reality through a limited frame. But paying attention gives me a better and broader perspective of what God is doing beyond what I can see in front of my face. Beyond what I can see in front of me, it invites me to widen my perspective so that I can see more than what's in my limited frame. That's why I have a love-hate relationship with the cameras on cell phones. I mean, there was a day when, some of y'all don't know about this, there was a day when you had to get your film developed. Y'all remember disposable cameras, right? You carried them in your pocket, and they were made out of like paper or something like that, and then you would go take your 32 pictures, and then you would go and get them all developed. And if you were having a real good time, you had to pay hundreds of dollars because you would go to CVS or Walgreens or Rite Aid, and they'll say, "What's your last name?" And you had your stack of cameras, right? But nowadays, and it didn't dawn on me until we got back from our trip, and I realized that I didn't take as many pictures as I wanted to, and I almost felt bad because I couldn't hold on to some of the memories. And then I remember why I didn't take as many pictures in the first place, because at one point I was taking pictures of everything. I was taking pictures of leaves. I was taking pictures of people. I was in the DR taking pictures of bananas. Like I ain't never seen a banana. Like I ain't never been nowhere, right? I was taking pictures of everything. Every meal that we ate, every drink that I ordered. I'm just just snapping and snapping and snapping away. But then I realized that the more I snapped, the more I was missing. Because I was so focused on what was in my limited frame that I was missing the vacation around. I got a love-hate relationship. In fact, watch. Look, if I took a picture of these beautiful people over here on this side, the problem is that I'm missing all of the beautiful people on this side. I got you. Because I can only see what's in my limited frame. And this is the way many people live their lives. Because they're making life decisions based off of what they see in the frame. We're making assumptions about God. We're making assumptions about the possibilities of God. We're making assumptions about our future based on what you can see in your small little frame. But what if God was bigger? What if God could do more than what you could see in your tiny little frame? They were in exile. They were in a foreign land. And God is giving them a hope for a future because God can see beyond what they could experience. Don't make life-changing decisions about your future and about what is possible through God based on your small little frame. Don't make decisions. That's why paying attention is so important, because it broadens our perspective. That's why sometimes the critical question is simply, Lord, what am I missing? What am I, you know, we go to God with so many prayers and so many requests, but when was the last time you asked God, what am I missing? What lesson am I missing? What perspective am I missing? What am I missing that you might be trying to show me? What are you doing around me that is beyond what I can see? Because the frame can be deceiving. I mean, it doesn't tell the whole picture. Remember, they're in captivity, and it's tempting to look at their current condition due to a singular event. It's easy to just look at their current condition as a singular moment. I mean, they lost a battle, or maybe they lost to a nation. Maybe they just had a bad day or a bad year. But life doesn't usually happen that way, because the greatest threat to our mental and physical and spiritual health, it's not the occasional crisis, but it's the small daily leaks that go unnoticed and unattended. People don't get parched overnight, but it's the everyday leaks. It's the everyday exhaustions that we go through, and sooner or later, we find ourselves on a platform spiritually and mentally exhausted. Their mistake was their inability to pay attention. They did not heed the warning signs and signals that God had graciously given to them over years and decades. God gave them several warnings, but they didn't pay attention. God sent several prophets, but their warnings fell on deaf ears, and their current condition was a result not of one day, but of years and decades of not properly managing the seemingly troubling areas of their lives. Because destruction doesn't happen overnight. Exhaustion is not a one-day event. Being parched is not a spiritual condition that describes a singular moment. That's why God gave us the blessing of thirst. Because it's a natural warning sign in our bodies that lets us know that we're running low on something that we need. It's the body's gift to us. It's a built-in mechanism to remind us to fill ourselves with something that we need. Thirst is the body's compass of pointing you to something that you can't live without. And it's only bad if you ignore it. And most of us do. We ignore all of the signs and signals that our spirits are getting parched. For example, for those of you who drove here through some means of transportation, even those of you who are online who have access to transportation, you benefit from this reality and principle every time you get into the car. Because your car is designed to send you warning signals when something is out of alignment, when something is low, when something needs to be changed, and the manufacturers have figured you out. They know that the average person doesn't always know enough to catch all the signs. So they let you know when the oil is low. They let you know when something is out of alignment. In fact, they're so kind, they let you know when your gas is low. But you know, there are two kinds of people in the world. I told you this before, there are two kinds of people in the world. First kind of person sees their gas getting low at about halfway, and then they reasonably stop at the nearest place to fill up like a responsible adult should. I'm not one of those people. The other side of us, we wait until the car gets absolutely empty. In fact, some of us so bad, you will Google to see just how many miles your car can go after it's been empty. Because the temptation is to keep going even when you're low. The temptation is to push it even when you're low and to just keep going. But sooner or later, it catches up to the best of us. The lady who passed out on the zip line on the platform didn't just suddenly lose energy. There was probably a series of hungers or thirsts that she ignored all throughout the day, and it finally caught up to her, and sooner or later it catches up to the best of us. We feel disconnected from God. We are short with people. Something is off and we can't explain it. It was not a singular moment, but there are these small little leaks that left unattended to. But paying attention is an invitation to be mindful of the things that not only fill us, but also of those things that are draining, because everything doesn't deserve your energy or your time. Some things that even though they're good for you, they can still be draining. What's leaking? Where are the cracks? What zaps you? What's no longer bringing you joy? Are you paying attention to the mechanisms? Are you paying attention to the signs? Are you paying attention to the things happening in our nation? I mean, will we look back 10 or 15 years from now surprised at our thirsty lands and dry moral grounds because we ignored a leak, we ignored a decision there, a sign here, or a warning there? Will it finally catch up to us? Because the greatest threat to our mental, physical, spiritual, and communal health, it is not the occasional crisis, but they're the small daily leaks and decisions that go unnoticed and unattended. So how does God respond to their thirst? God says, I will pour out water on the thirsty land. I mean, what did the gentleman give the woman who was exhausted on the platform? Water. What's the one thing that quenches our thirst? Water. Remember, thirst is the compass to direct us to what our bodies can't live without. And it's an important lesson because everything doesn't fill your cup equally. Everything doesn't always have the same value. And here's what's so important. It might be one of the most important decisions you make in this season of your life. It's going to be some of the most important decisions that you make as you grow in God. Because some of the most important decisions that we make in our lives is when our bodies are low and when our spirits are low, we have an important decision. Because what you decide to fill your emptiness with, what you decide to pour into your parched spirit, will play a important factor into every area of your life. It seems like such a small distance. But how are you going to fill the emptiness? How are you going to fill the places in your lives that feel parched? You see, sometimes we throw money at it. Sometimes we throw power at it. Sometimes we throw positions and prestige. Some of us spend our whole lives trying to fill the empty places in our lives. And it's not determined by age. Because it's full doesn't mean it's full with the things that make you full. Does that make sense? Because there are some things that we're filling our cup with . It's not something that our spirits and bodies need. But how you decide to fill the empty spaces and places in your life, it affects every other area of your life. What you decide to pour into empty spaces. And that's the beauty of paying attention. Because when we start paying attention, now we start to discern and determine what fills us up temporarily and what fills us up permanently. We start to determine, is this really filling my ego or is this filling my spirit? We start to determine, is this filling a need or is this filling a want? Because how I decide to fill the empty spaces in my life. Greatly determines of how my life is impacted. So pay attention. Pay attention to the things that fill you up. Pay attention to those things that drain you. Pay attention to those things that when you are full, it makes a difference in your life. In fact, paying attention is not just something we say with words, but I think it's something that we can practice in our everyday lives. In fact, we want to leave you with a spiritual practice today so that we can rehearse it here so that you can practice it in your homes. You can practice it in your jobs. You can practice this in your relationships. Everywhere you go, you can practice this. You find it in your insert. And for a moment, I just want you to close your eyes as we go through the spiritual practice of paying attention. So close your eyes. Notice what's going on with your body today. Where is there tension? What feels good? What might your body want you to know today? Notice your spirit. What's happening there? Is it troubled? Is it at peace? Is it ready for action or is it ready for rest? Is there something that your spirit is longing for? Now notice the space. What do you hear? What do you smell? What do you feel? What is worth paying attention to in your present surroundings? Now notice the things on your mind. What people, what thoughts, what concerns or distractions are taking up space right now? Do you want to hold on to these? Would you like to release them? What do you notice? Now notice the still small voice of God. What would God say to you in this moment, exactly where you are and how you find yourself? Notice what you're noticing.